com, WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota, and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton. This is Johannes Werner with your WSLR News headlines for Thursday, May 28. A prominent live music venue and microbrewery in Bradenton is facing financial troubles. Motorworks Brewing could be evicted from its flagship location with stage and beer garden near the baseball stadium south of downtown. This comes after a bank called back nearly $2 million in loans. Motorworks is based in Bradenton but has also outlets in Tampa and Orlando, and it recently opened one at the Sarasota-Bradenton airport. The plaintiff, Seacoast National Bank, filed a foreclosure claim last week, asking the court to order a sale of the property and evicting the tenant, according to the Bradenton Herald. Motorworks has brewed craft beer since opening in Bradenton in 2014. A public workshop last week to envision the future of Sarasota's Main Street turned into a contentious affair, according to The Observer. City policy critic and condo lawyer Dan Lobeck interrupted at the beginning of the event at Selby Library, objecting to the process. He complained that planners are not asking people what they think. The event was the beginning of an outreach about plans to turn the downtown hub into a complete street. Many downtown retail businesses have responded to the complete street plans with intense criticism, fearing a loss of storefront parking spaces. All three versions have in common a reduction in on-street parking to accommodate bikers, buses, and pedestrians. If you want to give your input, go to engage.sarasota.gov.
Is this our lady here in the sweatshirt? In the blue shirt? Is that her?
Yeah.
This was Dana Pope from Danville, Kentucky, deplaning Friday from her Allegiant Air flight at Sarasota-Bradenton International Airport. At the bottom of the air stairs, she was greeted by cameras and handed a big sign saying, 5 millionth Allegiant passenger served at SRQ, plus a year of free flights on the no-frills airline. Allegiant picked Sarasota 8 years ago as a destination, and the rise of Allegiant and other domestic budget carriers are the reason the airport added a new terminal last year. They are also the main reason this area has not seen a drop in visitors, compensating for a big dent in the arrival of international passengers that hit the area last year. Listen to our newscast tomorrow night at 6 for a detailed report on the changing face of tourism and the challenges this area is facing. This has been Johannes Werner with your WSLR News headlines for Thursday, May 28th.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Please enjoy this special presentation.
Welcome to The Detail. I am your host, Kathy Antunes, and you are listening to The Detail on WSLR 96.5, LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, and WBPV 100.1, LPFM in Bradenton, Florida. The views and opinions of hosts, guests, and callers on WSLR programs are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WSLR, its staff, or volunteers. With me today is Julie London Ferguson. Many of you may know her from her Substack column, Dear Bubby, where she writes about local issues with the school board. But Julie's got an announcement to make, which I didn't know about until recently. Julie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, I don't know why you put yourself through this kind of torture, and we are going to let everybody know what happened right before this Zoom took place. Okay. I didn't have the lighting right. The dogs were in the bedroom like an idiot. I went into the bedroom. They came running out like a jailbreak. And Kathy had to wait maybe 15 minutes for this. This is as good as it's going to get.
You're talking about your lighting, and I think you look great.
We love you and appreciate you so much. Thank you for understanding the human condition at the London household.
Okay.
Oh, so our big announcement.
Yeah.
Our big announcement is we are running for Sarasota County Commission District 4.
That is sick.
We're running on the Fed Up ticket.
On the Fed Up ticket. I like that.
You know, so, go ahead.
Well, okay. No, you go ahead. Tell me what made you, because that's a big leap. And if anything, I would have thought, oh, maybe she'd run for school board, because you cover the school board in your column. But you decided to run for county commission. And so what was it, Julie, that made you say, I'm fed up, I'm running?
I think it was probably my opponent's signs that were the final straw, that his signs are all reading conservative. That tells me that he's running in hopes that nobody is paying attention and they will just vote along party lines because it is a red district. Well, there hasn't been a Democrat in the Sarasota County Commission since 1970. We need a checks and balances. These people are watching out for each other. They have each other's backs, but they don't have the public's back.
Mm, yeah. Well, I, as you know, it's interesting that you said that because I wrote a column a number of years back and I had gone through the county commission election results. And first, there were two things. First of all, I realized that the Republican primary in August has, and historically anyway, has been where the Sarasota County Commissioner, as a practical matter, has been selected for the reason you just said. I wrote about how it hadn't been 50 years when I wrote about it, but it was coming up. So 2020 was 50 years. And I'm like, It's been nearly half a century, and now we're at 56 years.
Crazy.
Where, you know, where we haven't had a Democrat on the Sarasota County Commission. And if the governance were truly in the public interest, I don't think any of us would be taking issue with it. But, you know, from where I sit and from where a lot of people sit, we have a bought local government. It's changing. We have some commissioners in there now who I think are more service oriented and listening to the public, but there's still this majority, and it's the dark money. It's, you know, the majority Republican Party, maybe they don't pay as much attention. I think a lot of people don't pay as much attention to local races. What was it that got you initially interested in local government, Julie?
Well, let me kind of go back, circle back to what you just said.
Yeah.
This isn't even a Democrat or conservative thing. The treatment of the people at the boatyard was appalling. This kind of behavior is what Benderson would be doing, kicking people out of their longtime businesses, their taxpayers, and giving them like 30 days notice.
Tell me about that, because I have not heard about that, the boatyard.
Well, they bought the boatyard. It was purchased a few years ago for $8 million.
And where is it?
Oh, honey, that is located right before the South Bridge. And you want to know what? We're going to have to interrupt this for another human condition because the dog is barking.
I can't hear it, so we're good.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Okay.
The boatyard is located right before you go over the Stickney Point Bridge. It's where all those colorful little buildings are. It's where the boatyard restaurant used to be.
Okay.
You have like the scooter rental place, you had the boat rental place, and they're kicking these people out, effectively killing their businesses, because where can this one guy who had the water sports rentals, where can he go?
Yeah.
And when I went to the county commission meeting before the last one, Commissioner Mark Smith was practically accusing the boat rental guy of having another place to put his boats, to put his business. Mm. It was almost like he put this guy on the defensive.
Really?
I'm thinking, these are your constituents. This is personal. Maybe it's not happening to every single individual, mm-hmm. but if it's happening to one of us, it can happen to any of us. It was a totally heartless move. They spent, like I said, way too much for the property. They want to chop down all those cute little houses. That's the character of Sarasota. That draws tourism.
Yeah. No, it really is. So, Julie, you've been watching local government for a bit. Let's talk about your background, but I also want to come to, I think, your relationship with Nancy Dietert, because that was the first time on social media that I think that's how I got to know you. That's how a lot of people got to know you. But tell us about how long you've lived here, what you've done. Can you hang on a second? So I asked you about your background and how long you've lived here. But then I'd like you to share about your relationship with Nancy Dietert, how you got to know her.
So I am a product of the public schools. I've lived here since 1970, maybe even 1969. I don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. And I attended college and I graduated from the University of South Florida with a BA degree. But big deal about the college education, because Ted Bundy also had a college degree. It's more about our relationships with people and what we're capable of. I'm an ordinary looking person. I don't try to hide that. Yeah, I wish I were beautiful, but that's okay.
Oh, Julie, I disagree with you. I think you exude, you're a magnetic, lovely looking person.
But I sound like an ordinary person, but don't you dare underestimate what the ordinary citizen is capable of. Mm-hmm. And that goes to show, I mean, this petition drive that we had to get me on the ballot, to get our name on the ballot, was extraordinary. And it was extraordinary because people like me, people like you, decided they wanted choice and change, and they're going to make a huge difference in Sarasota. It isn't the billionaires. It isn't the multimillionaires. It was people just like me. I want to be their voice. So how am I qualified to be their voice? You brought in Nancy Dietert, and that is one of my proudest moments in life. I've always stood up for others against bad contractors, bad players. There is a billion-dollar cottage industry called guardianships. And when we were personally affected, we were advised to go to Nancy Dietert, then Senator Nancy Dietert. Mm-hmm. And I remember she looked at me right in the eye with her blue eyes, and she said, "This could happen to me." And, you know, that's the kind of representative I want to be.
I'm going to interrupt just because I think we want to make sure people understand. And I don't want to violate your privacy in any way. But
we are under an NDA.
Okay. So I am going to say you had a family member, because this was on social media.
Right.
You had a family member, a close family member, a close elderly family member that an organization presumed to apply to be the guardian of. And this was not something, you know, guardianship is when somebody becomes kind of like a parent. You know, you're the legal guardian of that person's assets, their home, their money, making healthcare decisions, legal decisions. So this was an organization swooping in and taking over someone's life that you knew and loved and were involved with, you know, closely. So it was a shock. I think it was shocking for many of us who read about it and you thought, how could this happen? How could this happen? Right. But it did. So Nancy Dietert, you appealed to her. And, you know, one of the things I liked so much and appreciated so much about Nancy, may she rest in peace. We lost her a few years ago. And Tom Knight is now in the seat that Nancy served in on the county commission. She was a state senator at the time. And she had her own name. In other words, she was her own woman. And that's rare in politics these days. So many politicians, I call it bought. They are beholden to special interests. These special interest groups, and locally, it's often developers, are looking for somebody who is going to be a yes man or a yes woman who will sit in that chair and do what they want them to do. And it doesn't take, relatively speaking, it's a small investment, money-wise, to put $1 million or even more into a county commission race if these developers are getting multi-million dollar concessions, whether it's zoning changes, infrastructure being paid for. So the thing about Nancy Dietert was she was known in the community. It's kind of like there's Nancy, Tom Knight, John Thaxton. These are people who are outside of the dark money machine, right? And so what was your experience working with Nancy?
She heard, she understood, and then we went to Tallahassee and we got laws changed, and it was voted unanimously by across the aisle to form an office for oversight for guardianship. At the time, in my case, what was really interesting was an attorney said that this case doesn't rely on due process or fraud on the courts, basically admitting that there was no due process and there was fraud on the courts. And there was a stunned silence in the courtroom. So, no, we got laws changed. It still is pretty scary, which is why, you know, I want to make sure that our elderly are taken care of. A very nice woman who wants to be my campaign manager said that I have to pare down my what I want done. But I have a long list from the school kids and the teachers and public education to the elderly. There's a lot going on. Yeah. Mainly, what you were talking about, dark money. And I do remember that article that must have hit tens of thousands of people. I'm not going to take money from a developer, and I'm not going to take money from anyone where there might be a conflict of interest. We collected over 1,300 petitions in 1 week's time. Many were out of the district. We had to get 703. There were no special events during that week. They said it wouldn't happen. And we ended up getting 953 petitions approved from the supervisor of elections office. That was 250 over. This was a group effort to have their voices heard. This is not my campaign, Kathy. This is Sarasota's campaign. This is to basically save Sarasota at this horrible point when the Florida legislature, the conservatives approved of, it's called Live Play Act or something like that.
Live Local. It's called Live Local.
Live Local.
Yeah.
And it takes away autonomy. It takes away choice from the citizens. But developers can come in. I do see loopholes, and I'm going to fight like hell. And quickly, you have to move real quickly on this to make sure the bad players don't come into Sarasota without the infrastructure in place.
Yeah. Yeah, the Live Local Act, they always give these things a good name, a name that sounds good, right? But the Live Local Act, basically, we've seen the state of Florida preempt local control over many things. One of them is campaign finance. In Sarasota County, the campaign finance limit for a local race, it's in our charter, was $200 per donation. But the state preempted home rule and said right. the state limits apply.
So, and same with the charter schools, Kathy. Now it's like you can't even fight to keep a charter school out of this district. And we certainly don't need another charter school.
The corporate charter schools. Oh. I always try to remember to say the corporate charter school, because those for-profit schools really wind up draining resources. You know, they charge way too much for their leases. For the charter school, there's less money going to education. But yeah, you know, the way they set it up at the state is if a school board doesn't approve a charter school application, then they can be held liable if that group goes to the state and appeals to the commissioner of education, who for a time was Manny Diaz, who is an executive with Academica, a corporate charter school
company. Right.
So the state has been very friendly to corporate charter schools, and corporate charter schools are donating to state legislative campaigns. So it's this very incestuous financial relationship.
Which would be very frightening if Byron Donalds gets in as governor. And if you were a Democrat, I would be saying the same thing. He is getting major donations from AI data centers, and his wife has made millions of dollars and stands to make millions of dollars from charter schools. We can say goodbye to public education. And people may say, well, you know, I don't have kids in public education. It affects your property values. A friend, Lisa,
it affects the quality of medical care in your community if you don't have educated young people coming
back.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was done.
Okay. You know, what's interesting, let me see if I can find, since we're...
I guess I could say this, because I talk about public education and I talk about the elderly. Bill Cosby, of all people for me to quote, he said, "We are only as happy as our saddest child." And yeah. That quote recently came up, and I thought, it's the same with Sarasota. We're only as good as our weakest link.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe instead of us being a silo on our own, we have to help out everybody, every organization, everything that makes Sarasota great that might be struggling. We have to expand our silo.
Yeah, we do. So I was going to share my screen, but anyway, it's not an evident option here. So you mentioned Erica Donalds. And Erica Donalds, it was funny because I was at a Tiger Bay forum and I really didn't know who she was. But I had asked a question. It was about education, and I was asking about charter schools. And there was a woman in the panel just giving me the stink eye. And I'm like, who's this woman? You know? Well, you know, yeah. And it was her. But essentially, she was a member of the coalition, the Florida Coalition of School Board Members. That was started when Bridget Ziegler became a school board member in 2014. And they were trying to be this alternate organization that was opposing the Florida School Board Association, I think it is. So Erica Donalds was a founding member or an early member. Tiffany Justice, Tina Deskovich. I mean, that was the birthplace of Moms for Liberty. Was
right.
Florida Coalition of School Board Members. And Erica Donalds is pretty much the fourth co-founder of Moms for Liberty. Not officially, but, you know, she was right here in there with Justice Deskovich and Ziegler. But we digress. So let's get back to the county commission. So you had a very... personal experience where you saw the importance of government stepping in and basically making things better and holding people accountable, you know, especially for your family member. Talk to me about, was there anything you had mentioned that the incumbent did something that upset you? Was it just the signs or was there a decision that
Definitely regarding the boatyard, I think that was okay. Absolutely insane. And I can't say for sure, but I understand that there was a conflict of interest even in the purchase with it. Okay. I have to tell you something else about the commissioners, which I thought was so different than the Sarasota County School Board meetings. Like, yeah. You know, we're always saying how disrespectful Bridget Ziegler is towards all the people in the audience, and Karen Rose and Marinelli is always scolding us for something. So I went to my first commissioner meeting like in a while. Otherwise, you know, I'd gone kind of sporadically. Kathy, I couldn't believe how disrespectful everybody was, including Tom Knight. A librarian got up to speak, and they're all leaving. They're getting up off the dais, going to the bathroom, I don't know, getting a drink. There were probably four times while this poor lady who came to speak before the board, and it was also others, they're just getting up and walking away. And I think, you know, we at the school board meetings, we so didn't tolerate that. We so called them out that now they make an announcement that if one of the board members leaves, there is a loudspeaker in the back. But I thought,
in the bathroom.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. But what the hell is the matter with these people who don't understand that this librarian is taking time away to talk to them? Mm-hmm. And especially somebody like Tom Knight, you know, if I have his ear, I'm real happy and honored. And for them to just walk out with no regard to this person breaking up their day to be heard.
Yeah.
How, and to just leave and, you know, are the meetings too early at 9 a.m.? You know, they're kind of early when you have to drive from Sarasota an hour away.
In rush hour. Yeah.
But what the heck, you know, every one of them left except for Mr. Kutzinger and that lady, what's her name?
Teresa Mast?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we can give her credit for that.
Yeah.
But she stayed.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's I can understand sometimes if you've been sitting a long time and you need a break, but they really should just ask for
a break. It was the first 15 minutes of the meeting.
Okay.
And then, like, after an hour, they had to take a break. And I'm thinking, what the heck, you know?
Yeah, that doesn't make, no.
It was the disrespect. It was an utter disrespect of the people who were speaking.
Yeah, you know, Pat Rounds, she and I have worked on a number of civic initiatives. And it's actually been a while since I've seen Pat. One of the things that she would say is that they're all staring into their monitors, like making grocery lists, to that disrespect, because that would happen frequently when people would get up to give input to the county commission. You know, they would almost make a show of ignoring the speaker. It's gotten a little better, but Not we're not there yet where we should be, but it was quite appalling. And when I started paying attention to local government in 2008, that sort of thing really caught my attention. There was this arrogance and disrespect that, and then kind of putting on a show, trotting out all these, you know, development attorney types or related trades. We've seen that recently even. I think your point is well taken. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who's an attorney. She practiced in New Jersey. And the first time she was at a meeting, and it was surrounding a development decision And so the whole community was out there. I forget exactly which one. It might have been in celery fields. But anyway, she said, oh, my gosh, they really don't care at all, do they? And she had been, like, served in government or advisory positions in a different state. And she's just like, they really don't care what the public has to say. I'm like, no, they don't. And she said, they've already made up their mind. I'm like, yep, this is just, they do not care. That was probably in 2018, around 2018. So, yeah, to your point, Julie, I think there's maybe a critical mass of people who've seen this enough that it's becoming more of a political issue. And maybe...
Let me interrupt, and I'm going to talk to you like a friend. Like we're not really, like this is the public. Yeah. But I want to know what you think of this. This is real minutia. So Karen Rushing sits up on the board on the dais during the county commission meetings. One of the commissioners walked out and gave her a kiss on the cheek. Is that acceptable?
Well, you know, so Karen's been a public servant for a long time, right?
Yes.
And I would say if it, you know, people greet each other that way.
On the dais.
Well, I take your point that on the dais it may not be. But at the same time, that's not a hill that I would die on if they're friends.
It isn't a hill I would die on.
Yeah.
But not on the dais.
I think it can be that kind of familiarity may detract from the professional role that each of them has to execute. I could see that. You know, so I see what you're saying. Of course, you have to kind of see it. But, you know, honestly, I wouldn't think too much of it. But I could see how it might be inappropriate.
If I saw Tom Edwards give Liz Barker a kiss on the cheek, I just felt Phillips.
Well, that's true. See, I make a distinction because Rushing is not a commissioner.
But
she's her own office.
But they're both on the dais. They're both on the same dais. And
you're
and
right.
Such a violation of space. You know, and you kind of can't fight back when the cameras are on you.
Yeah, you're going to, You know.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I thought it was inappropriate. And I say that as somebody who is always inappropriate myself, but there's also, boy, that line.
The professional line.
And I think, you know, he was aware that people are watching. And I think it was a showmanship thing as well. And it was, but like you said, it's not a hill to die on, but I think it reflects the person who just, you know.
Yeah. There's a decorum issue.
Right.
So let's look at, you would be representing Siesta Key in District 4. Mark Smith, District 2, represents part of Siesta Key.
Right.
And District 4, Joe Nunder, the incumbent seat, represents the other part of Siesta Key. Siesta Key has gone through quite a bit when it comes to rezoning legal issues around, it's not actually rezoning, it's comp plan changes, things that are big departures from what's allowed on Siesta Key. And specifically, I'm talking about hotel density, allowing what we call mega hotels instead of like 25 units an acre, a lot more. So these tall hotels that have been proposed. Lourdes Ramirez successfully sued the county because they approved a mega hotel that was in clear violation of the comprehensive plan. What Have you followed this issue? What are your thoughts on this issue? Where do you come down on mega hotels?
I come down on the side of the people's voice, and the people don't want them. So they shouldn't have to go to every single county commission meeting to fight for what they want, for what is doing the right thing for their community. They need somebody on the board who will fight for them. The county commissioners are getting paid to do that job. And I think that they have forgotten that. But I want, as Sarasota, I want a Siesta Key that can depend on their county commissioner to do what they want. How do we know what they want? We have to make ourselves 100% accessible to them. And I know that there are transparency laws. When you become a commissioner, you're not allowed to respond to your constituents on social media. I want to dig deeper into what is allowed, because if and when I am elected, I want to hold two town halls or individual appointments with people twice a month, schedule days to do that, because it's crazy not to. It's crazy to stay in your little bubble.
I think people. Yeah, I mean, I don't see that there's any issue with town halls. That's widely accepted. I expect that would be very welcome. You know, one of the things that people behind the scenes have shared with me regarding Siesta Key and, you know, what is the larger agenda? There's the mega hotel issue, but that there's also an agenda on the part of some folks to bring a casino or gambling to Siesta Key. And of course, the concern there, because, you know, money, right? All of this is about optimizing profit and optimizing money, you know, people making money. But Siesta Key has a certain laid-back vibe. It's not what it used to be, but it's still not a Fort Lauderdale. It's still not, you know, big city. And if you were to introduce gambling or casinos, that really changes things. Have you heard anything about that? Or what are your thoughts, if you have or you haven't?
You have to make Siesta Key a welcome place for everyone. Is a casino place a welcome place for families? I don't think so. I love gambling. And, and you know, I did go to the casino with Nancy Dietert once. I haven't been in years, though. But no. You know, my opinion is no. If the people wanted it, I'd have to push that aside and say, here's why. But I feel like I represent so much of, again, the ordinary citizen. Of course not. That's insane. We have the Seminole Hard Rock Casino right up 50 miles up I-75. So that would be absolutely insane. But if a whole party decides they want that, then the commissioners are in a tough place because they don't want to go against their party. They're the party supporting them. But that's why you need to have that checks and balances. You need somebody to go in there and call them out. And that's why, you know, we're running on being called watchdogs. We're going to make sure that they're aligned with the public and not with their party. It really is going to be people over politics. Xander Moritz said it very well, and I felt the same way. A crack, nobody wants a cracked sidewalk. What does that have to do with being left or right? Nobody wants potholes in the street. We don't want AI data centers. This isn't a left or right problem. This is a Sarasota challenge. Yeah. And if the party all says, well, the small AI data center is okay, they're all going to go along, I'm going to fight like hell. Do I have the experience to fight? When it comes to my family, when it comes to my hometown, when it comes to my friends, when it comes to seeing any kind of injustice, oh, watch out. No, I'm coming for you.
Yeah. And so that's a refreshing take. I think a lot of people want to hear that from candidates. And as we've talked about, the county commission culture has been lacking in that regard. It's getting better, but still a long way to go. Speaking of which, in August of 2025, at a county commission meeting, Teresa Mast introduced an item that was not on the agenda. She had a letter from Mike Moran talking about the imposition of fees for collecting the school board tax and claiming that the county commission had been paying these fees or suggesting that, and framing this issue that Moran was collecting these fees, that to date he's collected over $2 million. And Mast was saying, these fees really belong to the school board. They're getting the money. They should be paying the fees. So because it was an unagended item, Teresa Mast brought it up. And we know that the Masts are very friendly with Mike Moran from reporting from the Florida Trident at a Las Vegas convention meeting where they were all there wining and dining. And this was PACE, the PACE program, Property Assessed Clean Energy.
It was on taxpayer money.
Yeah. So they were wining, dining, and it was very controversial, the amount of money that was spent for steak dinners and stuff. But the reality of the situation, so the county commission voted, all right, we're not going to pay these fees. And then the school board started getting charged fees for the first time in 23 years, and the school board started pushing back, okay? But the real amazing deception, I think, happened in August.
Tell me.
Because the county commission had never paid fees.
Right.
Nobody had ever paid the fees, but it was framed as if they had been. And that kind of framing by a commissioner and the tax collector, I find deeply concerning. I know you've been following what's happening there, and I'd like you to share your thoughts about, you know, the county commission's role and what is, as a commissioner, you know, you would do.
You know, I hate to cut down the county commission because I have not sat in their shoes, but I will be. I feel it was lazy. You have to investigate. You have to do your own research. You can't just rely on the word of one person, especially one person who, you know, seemingly to me has a big conflict of interest with anything having to do with Mike Moran. I also think this is another reason why people cannot vote along party lines. They got this Moran guy in whose budget is way over any other county in Florida's budget and what he is requesting. You know, I felt he should be impeached, and I asked the county commission to consider it because he can't just be thrown out. The governor has to throw him out. Right?
Yeah, I believe his budget is up 36%, something like that. You know,
So I feel like the county commissioners, all of them, you know, voted to go along with this. And until editorials started appearing in the paper and people are saying, this isn't what I voted for, and they realize, oh, wait, this is 84% of the people voted for the tax referendum to go to the public schools, not to the tax collector. Then Tom Knight spoke up. It's like almost once it became public.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I've learned is, you know, unfortunate people who are getting screwed by this county commission, they're one voice, and they're getting away with not treating these people wonderfully, like the people at the boatyard. But let it become public, and they'll say, okay, we're going to step back. We made a mistake. I am glad that they acknowledged that it was a mistake. However, Teresa Mast still hasn't. Surprise. And Mr. Kutzinger hasn't. They said they're going to wait for the results of a lawsuit that is still pending from the Sarasota County Public Schools to the tax collector's office.
Yeah. But so, you know,
to me, our public schools are so important. So why immediately on a non-agenda item vote for such a huge, were they tired? You know, they weren't told.
Well, I think they were trusting a colleague. And I also find the county administrator's wife works in the tax collector's office. And it's odd to me that this kind of an item would not be on the agenda. Although, you know, as a commissioner, I guess Teresa Mast has certainly the latitude to introduce something like this. But typically something like this is on the agenda. The public gets to see it. And there's background information. So that letter from Moran was not in the background packet. It couldn't be read. They were taking things on faith. And in all fairness, I would want to be able to trust a colleague, you know. But I think everybody's learned a lesson. Now, I do want to provide an update because there were reporting in the Observer that the county commissioners did formalize, because Moran is apparently still pushing to collect these fees. And what the commissioners, and they did it unanimously. I think that the political writing was on the wall. So Mast and Kutzinger have come on board with the other three. And they did
vote. I was at the meeting. But there's voting to give fees, and there's no, where, how are they coming up with the fees? Where's the amount coming from?
Well, you know, it's being taken, well, exactly. I mean, I guess they're pulling it from the general fund and all of the money from the one mill tax. So for 23 years, we've collected this tax to go to our public schools. Nobody has ever, before Mike Moran, the tax collector, did not impose a fee for collecting the tax. And if Moran is able to collect this tax through the end of his term, it's going to be more than $6 million that is going to be taken out of Sarasota County schools.
It'd be like $10 million.
Huh?
It would be closer to $10 million. Over the years, yeah.
Yeah. So they have, it's interesting because the county's like, okay, you're imposing this fee. You're not backing down. We're going to pick it up, but we are going to sue you. You know, the Sarasota County Commission is suing the tax collector over this. It's funny because I had thought and I had heard that that Moran, the tax collector, was not going to collect it anymore. But apparently
he did return the $2 million, as you know.
He did
return the $2 million.
So he did. But they're going to litigate whether or not he can collect. Is that, that's the upshot of it?
I believe so.
Okay.
This is why, again, I'm running on the watchdog ticket more than anything else. I'm going to have to depend on everybody to let me know everything going on, because I'm going to be paying really close attention. But it's going to be people like you who provide even more detail. And, you know, I'm going to dig real deep, but we have to stop this pretty craziness. But the thing is they all know the public schools are underfunded. They know the schools are in trouble. Mm-hmm. They may not have been given the good information, but for that to pass unanimously, man, you know, haven't they ever heard of the expression, I'll think about it? Or let's go
back in August.
That item, you know?
Yeah. And you know what's funny, Julie? Because I'm reading the coverage in The Observer, and I've got sources who are very clear with me that before Moran, there were no fees for collecting this tax.
Right.
So, but The Observer is reporting that that the county had been paying the tax. had been paying the fees. It says in front of them, the county commission, was a resolution that codified a previous and unanimous vote to undo an August 2025 agreement, pushing responsibility for the 2% fee to the school district, breaking a two-decade-long practice of the county paying the tab. I mean, it looks like to me, the Observer is buying into the Moran and Mass story that the county had been paying the tab.
There's no line for it in the budget.
All my sources go, they were never paying this. So right. Even our local reporting, they're, you know, to me, I look at this larger agenda, this larger culture of serving special interests, of I'm going to get mine, of kind of, as you put it, screwing the little guy or screwing, you know, the ordinary citizen. And it's not questioned enough. It's not like the Observer shouldn't be putting it out there that the county commission had paid this tax for decades if they hadn't. And, you know, I'm gonna once again go to my sources and nail this down. And if I'm wrong, you'll hear it from me. But we got to get this stuff straight, because in that
I did ask that at the county commission meeting when I spoke before the county commissioners. I asked them. I said, "We're not seeing it in the line budget. So what is it?"
Yeah. So the best information we have is that nobody was ever being charged. And this is a Mike Moran creation, which is the basis of the lawsuit, right? It's never been done before. So anyhow, and it's just so deeply concerning to me to have public servants who are spinning a story that just has no basis in reality.
What I love about Superintendent Connor is he keeps his cool, unlike me, because you can see, you know, I'm kind of hot under the collar with some of this. But he tried to talk with Mr. Moran, mm-hmm. you know, for months, for close to a year, brought the legal team in. And it's costly to even do that.
It is.
And then finally, when he wasn't getting anywhere with this gaslighting tax collector, he had to sue. And then, of course, Moran has the audacity to write an editorial and say that Mr. Connor doesn't care about the students and that he's doing expensive litigation for no reason. I mean, wow. This is not who should be in the tax collector's office.
No. It's very concerning. Tell me about, you know, we just have a few minutes left. D.R. Horton has been denied a number of times the approvals necessary to build residential housing next to the celery fields, and they continue to pursue strategies. Now they seem to be going through courts claiming some kind of, I'm not sure it's Bert Harris, but they're claiming some kind of right they have to right. build residential homes, basically in an area that we all saw was completely underwater in one of the right. major storms. You know, which side would you come down on? Are you happy?
I want to know, how did it get that far? And same with, I don't mean to switch gears, but what about the Gulfgate Golf Course? Again, if any of the county commissioners lived in Gulfgate Woods, there wouldn't be a developer coming in. They wouldn't be saying at the 11th hour, everybody get to a meeting. This is your last chance to have your voice heard. That golf course was defunct, for over 10, well over 10 years. Mm-hmm. So I am going to be speaking at the Gulfgate Library at 11 o'clock this Saturday, along with other candidates, so people know who and what they want to vote for or don't want to vote for.
So 11 a.m.
For these things to get as far as they are means our commissioners are not being proactive enough.
And so again, go ahead. 11 a.m. on Saturday at the Gulfgate Library.
Right.
Is that right? And is yes. it the League of Women Voters who's sponsoring?
It's the Sarasota Democratic Party.
Okay.
All right. So it'll be all Democrats.
Okay.
All Democratic candidates.
Okay. And I do want to remind everyone on May 26th, there will be a school board candidate forum at Fogartyville. You can go to WSLR.org to register and get the time and the details. But it's the Bridget Ziegler seat. So Jimmy Glover,
Teresa DeWitt. Grant
and Teresa DeWitt. Right. So they're going to be there for that forum. So, Julie, we just have a few minutes to say goodbye. I really appreciate the chat. It's great to see that you jumped into the race. What do you want people, why should they vote for you? What do you want them to know?
Because they're not voting for me. They're voting for themselves. And that's one thing, like the very first time I had to stand up and talk about myself, I thought, this is nuts. We need to be talking about them because it's what I can do for them. But I understand, you know, they have to know a little bit about me. And, you know, what they know is, you know, that wonderful Flo Entler, you know, her resume is unbelievable. And I was that I'm glad I don't have to speak after her. She's a marathoner. And, you know, I thought of the time when I ran a 5K and had the dry heaves at the finish line. So yeah. Just certain things, you know, I almost feel like it would be bragging on myself. But mainly I'm just want to fight for my hometown. And with the few remaining moments left, I do want to talk about the schools again. And recently, Michelle Posey, who's a candidate in District 5, really went on a crazy rant and rage over the Holocaust and comparing the time when children had to wear masks to the schools to the Holocaust. It was incredible. We have really good candidates running for school board. Beth Mayberry in District 5. Megan Tenemon in District 4, Jimmy Glover in District 1. These people are all running for the right reasons. But what Michelle Posey did, we will be writing about that in our Dear Bubby blog because she's just disqualified as a candidate, in my opinion.
Okay. So everybody, thank you so much for joining us. Julie, thank you for joining me. Everybody, you've been listening to The Detail on WSLR 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, and WBPV 100.1 LPFM in Bradenton, Florida. Be sure to stay tuned for more public affairs programming here on WSLR. Make it a great day.
Fogartyville presents St. Petersburg-based jazz band The Chaunces Trio on Friday, May 29th at 8 p.m., led by drummer Chance Reynolds and joined by vibraphonist Eric Zabala and bassist Cooper Madden. The trio takes influence from straight-ahead jazz, hip-hop, and even experimental music to create a distinctive sonic atmosphere. Tickets are $20 for current members of WSLR and Fogartyville, and $25 for not yet members, with $13 for students. For more information and tickets to the May 29th Chaunces Trio concert, visit WSLR.org or call 941-894-6469.